Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that all have returned safe back to the ranch. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity, Lord, to come together to hear the words that you have for us today. And we ask, Lord, that you give us the understanding so that we may receive these words, so that we may improve our lives, so that we may do the work that you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city. Beautiful situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the Lord, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the Lord, the city of the great King. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of its name, my Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of its name, my Lord's name is to be praised.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Good morning. Brought my sword with me. I was listening to some of the services this morning, spotting here and there. And I was listening to Philip, what he had to say. And, you know, it seems to be a reoccurring theme, people falling into the same trap, the same old trap of frustrations, disappointments, failures. And I think it's because they just haven't got this one little thing down. I'm going to read out of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 16. This is, to me, one of the profound verses that needs to be remembered daily. Because it's the heart and soul of sticking to the gospel. I mean, the gospel is simple. Jesus Christ sacrificed for my sins. I mean, that's as simple as you can make it. The Father gave Jesus to me to offer to him a sacrifice. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. I mean, he didn't give me a dove. He didn't give me a ram or a lamb. He gave me his own son. See, when the scripture says that the Father gave his son, what did he give the son for? He gave the son to us. That's the beauty of it. That's the awesomeness of the gospel. He didn't just sacrifice his son. He gave his son to us. We are the ones that sacrificed him. Do you understand that? Under the law, you brought the sacrifice to the temple and the priest killed the sacrifice. And the blood was poured out on the horns and the altar. So, it wasn't God that slew the sacrifice. It was us. Jesus was given to me and given to you as a sacrifice, eternal. What a beautiful thing. Now I want you to know this. Look at this verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Stop right there. Have you not learned that yet? Have you not learned that you're not justified by what you do? Good or bad. You're not justified. If you're not justified by the works of the law, then you're not justified by anything you do. Be it good or bad. Because we know the law is good if it's used lawfully. Amen. All good things come down from the Father of lights in whom we have to deal. Or have to do. God doesn't give us bad things. He gave the law, but he gave it for a purpose. We took the law and misused the law. Amen. If we take a gun and we're hungry and we shoot a deer and we eat that deer, then we have used the gun lawfully. Amen. If we take that same gun and shoot our brother or our sister, we have used the gun unlawfully. Where do we place the blame? On the person shooting the gun. Our government isn't that smart. And liberals aren't that smart. They want to blame the gun. Oh, it's the gun's fault. The gun killed that person. No, the gun didn't kill anybody. It was the person behind the gun that did it. Amen. So, the law is good when it's used lawfully. Don't blame the law if it slays you because you use it unlawfully. How can the law slay you? If you seek to justify your works and your actions and your life by the law, if you try to live your life by the law will slay you. It's designed to do that. It was created to do that. So that it would prepare you and prepare me to know and to embrace and understand the greatness of God when he gave unto me his son under the law as a sacrifice for my sins eternal. Hallelujah. You use the law any other way and you're using it unlawfully. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now watch this. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. You're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith. Your faith is carnal. It wavers. It goes up, it goes down. It's strong, it's weak. And it's always changing its mind. depending on how you feel at the time. Amen? I mean, there are people who like me sometimes. Then there are times they don't like me. Ask my wife. She likes me sometimes. Amen? Once in a while. Yeah. Likes me more than the further I'm away. And then there are times she doesn't like me. Amen? That's the flesh. That's called filios love. And the same goes for me. There are times I like her, there are sometimes I don't like her. But that's filios. We're not called to love one another, filios. We're called to love one another with agape. And agape is, by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not by our faith, it's by his faith. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See, it's his faith that helps us to believe in him, so that his faith can finish the work. Not our faith, his faith. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That is something that God has ingrained in me for almost 40 years. To believe that and understand that and to stand in that. It doesn't matter what anybody does. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how things are going. It doesn't matter if it's going good or if it's going bad. It doesn't matter. What matters is I trust in the faith of Jesus Christ, that he has first in himself and second in me. I have that faith of Jesus Christ in me to believe him. And as long as you're looking at that, you're operating in the gospel. You're operating in the agape love of God. And when you're, see, you know when you're operating in the agape love of God. Because when you're operating in the agape love of God, you don't notice the things that others do, whether they be right or wrong. You'll notice it. What does it say? Love sees no evil. Amen, Brother Davy. That's the truth. So let's grab hold of that and remind yourself daily. Not your works. It's not by your faith. It's by his works and by his faith that we are justified. And when we are justified in that manner, we're free. We're free. We're free to move forward in him. I'm done.
With the beauty of the Lord. Wow.
Let's go over to Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's go through that one more time. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word of God built this world. With a word, he spoke this place into existence. He spoke the sun into existence, the moon into existence, all the stars that are in the heavens. Through his word, he gives us all that we need. He doesn't do it through things which we see, things which we know, although we may know some of those things. But he'll provide for us whether it exists or not. Because through his word, it can be created instantly. His word. He gives us his word in his book, the Holy Bible. From the front page to the last, it is the word of God. It is the word of Jesus Christ. And in it, and in its entirety, is the things that have happened in the past, the things that are happening today, and the things that will happen tomorrow. It is a living word. To be in that living word, you have to read it. You have to study it. You have to have faith to be able to understand it. And you have to have faith to be able to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now down through there, it gives you a bunch of examples about different ones and their faith and how it came to them. But if you jump over to 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." That him is Jesus Christ. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what are you seeking? What's drawing your focus? What's drawing your attention? Is your attention drawn to things in this world? The commercials on TV, all the shiny things that are in the stores when you run around each day? Or is your focus on Jesus Christ
and doing the job which Jesus gives to each and every one of us as believers to seek that opportunity to introduce Jesus Christ to another. That's our job. And you can't do that job unless you yourself have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. That means all of your faith. Now, as you grow up, you put your faith in different things. Think of your faith as a piece of pie. When you were born, that was a whole pie. As you walk and grow and learn, you take little pieces of that pie and start handing it out to different things. You put your faith in a parent, or in a brother, or in a sister, or in a grandparent, or in a policeman, or a fireman, or whoever. You divide up that faith. Pretty soon, you don't have much pie left. The slice that's left that you hold is very small. But do you believe Jesus Christ? Do you believe His Word? Because all you have to do is pray and ask Him to restore all of your faith to you. And you can have it right now. If you have all your faith, then you can trust that Jesus Christ, through His grace and His mercy, will allow you to pull upon His faith to do the works that we are called to do. Jesus loves us. He gives us His Word. Believe it. Have faith in it. Walk it. Amen.
Surrounding His throne, a thousand. Good morning, folks. You can turn over to Hebrews 4. It was, as you guys know, I've been gone for like the last week, and one of the good elements of it is get to pray while driving. And I think the Lord let me be gone for a full 8 days or so that he could maybe finally get through to me. But one of the points that really came up, and I want to hit on it, dovetails. If you listen to what Brother Davey was saying about Galatians, he was saying the key to walking in that is trust. Trust. And it was interesting, as I was driving in here yesterday, nearing the end of my trip, I think I was actually still out on I-10 somewhere, but as I was driving, you know, one of the things I was praying about with the Lord is, you know, Lord, kind of where are you? You know what I'm saying? In the sense of in my prayer life. Because there are times, and I suspect everybody goes through this, where you can't seem to find them. And sometimes you're quite angry and frustrated in the midst of this. And what the Lord showed me and said to me very simply was, look, Steve, if you aren't trusting in me, even if I do speak unto you, you will not hear. You will not hear. See, and trusting him is a choice. It's something you choose to do, notwithstanding how you feel, notwithstanding what you see, notwithstanding whether you like the way things are going or you don't like the way things are going, notwithstanding all of that. And it is really the key to going forward in the Lord. So I wanted to turn to Hebrews 4. For most of you, Hebrews 4 is a well-known chapter, but for some, it's not as well-known. So let me just set the stage briefly. Hebrews 4 is a book, and it's talking about, I mean, chapter 4 is talking about the children of Israel in the desert who died with Moses and were not able to enter in and receive the inheritance. And the reason why they were not able to enter in is because of unbelief. That was the only thing. That's the whole thing that kept them. It wasn't anything they did. It wasn't any of that. It was purely and solely and without any other element to it, unbelief. Now, as a Christian, see, the children of Israel there, the inheritance they were seeking was the promised land, right? And in order to take the promised land, there were people living in the promised land who God told them to go and kill. And some of these people were stronger than, I mean, bigger than them. They were giants. They had great walled cities. They had all of these things that made them look invincible. So that there was no way they could see themselves winning. Isn't that a lot of times how we feel in our individual battle? We feel like there's just no way we can win. And when we dwell in that place, we start getting angry. We start getting frustrated. We start getting a whole bunch of different things. And being a Christian certainly doesn't seem like a number one choice we ever made in our lives. But for us as Christians, that inheritance is an inheritance to operate in and partake of all the good things of the kingdom of God. All of the good things of the kingdom of God. That means to partake of healing, both in receiving it ourselves and ministering it unto others. To partake of deliverance, both in receiving it ourselves and ministering it unto others. To partake of love. Love. A place where you are secure in that love that is unconditional. Peace. A sound mind. One that's free of worry and anxiousness and fear and cares and all of these things. These are our inheritance in the kingdom of God. All of those giants in our lives, this very flesh that testifies against us, all of these things that seem to be impossible to overcome completely and entirely, nothing lacking. That is our inheritance. Every one of us. Now, look at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. I want to underscore this concept of rest, and I want to hit back on the fear part for a moment. The rest, see, if you were to listen to what Brother Davey was speaking on Galatians 2, when he was talking about, for no man is justified by the works of the law. See, all the things we do to seek to justify ourselves, and you know how you know you do this? Is when you're called to account, or the Lord, somebody says something to you, and you start justifying yourself and your action. Does anybody ever do that? I mean, in the kitchen this morning, did we run into that at all? Just a wee bit of justification. It was a joke. It's called justification. And those are the ones we speak out. She said it. But how many of them do we have in our hearts, which we are afraid to speak out lest we be corrected? In which we have attitudes against one another and we're justified in our attitudes. Anybody do that? Anybody not want to step on somebody else's toes? Why? It's really not about the other person, it's about us. That's why we don't want to step on another person's toes. We might find out we're wrong. Because we like the idea of being justified ourselves. We like that. But see, by contrast, walking in what Galatians 2:16 speaking of, we realize we not only are not justified of ourselves, we cannot be. It is an impossibility for us. There is nothing we can do to justify ourselves. Salvation is entirely the work of God. I mean, Bob's talking about going out and preaching the gospel. Praise God, we should go out and preach the gospel. But the fact of the matter is whether a person receives Christ or not has nothing to do with us. Absolutely zero, zilcho, nada. You know why? Because no man can come unto the Son but the Father draw him. No man can come unto the Son but the Father draw him. So even our preaching of the gospel, now don't get me wrong, as we go forward by faith and preach the gospel unto every creature, the Spirit of God being with us, that Spirit of God can move on that person to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we step out and do it. Don't hear me wrong. All right, but to think that it is us who has done anything, that is vanity. And that is pride. All right, and it says here, let us therefore fear. See, when you look, and we look at back over those things that are the promises of the inheritance we have in the Lord. And then you look at yourself and say, how abundantly am I partaking of this? How abundantly am I partaking of this? What happens is now all of a sudden when you do this honestly, when you will do this honestly, and I'll tell you what, being honest with yourself can be very scary to do. Because when you start getting honest with yourself, you generally find out things about yourself that you don't want to find out a lot of times. You don't like what the finding is. I mean, isn't that why? I remember Davey talking about, you know, sometimes people like me. He was using Anne as the example. Sometimes Anne likes me, and sometimes she doesn't like me, right? And he was talking about that and everything. There's probably not an individual in this ministry who does that more with the people than Brother Davey, right? How many people here sometimes like Brother Davey? How many people here sometimes don't like Brother Davey? Right? The fact of the matter is we get hit with both, right? And usually the part when we don't like is some attitude on our part is coming out that we actually don't want to accept as being on our part. We think it's on his part, right? Isn't that really what it comes down to? We think the one who's got the problem is him. Isn't that almost every single time what it is? When you get down to it, right? Isn't it? You're pissed at him. He does not understand. How can he say that to me? That cannot be wrong. But you just have a gazillion thoughts that run through your mind, which do what? Justify yourself. Right? Isn't that what they all boil down to? Every single one of those thoughts justify you. Why do you think God uses him in that way? So that you can see these things and get shed of them. What do we do? The opposite. We prefer to agree with our thoughts and find fault with him, right? Isn't that what happens? I mean, if you were to get down here at Grace Ranch, you were to get down to it and look at the different things that we got, and is not this always, did I say always? I think I did. Always what it is about. Every single time. Isn't it the truth? Now see, these are the truths that when you get down to and you start looking at them, that you don't like. In fact, you hate. And I hate too. I mean, I could tell you. There was a lot of my prayer time and things like that in which I was not liking it. Not liking myself in particular. Really coming to loathe and hate myself for the way in which I am. Which is a good thing, you know why? Because that old man self is not the one Christ died for. And that's not the one that goes forward. How can I put off that which I am fond of? Right? You can't put off that which you're fond of. I mean, you can, but you only do it with regret and anger and a whole bunch of different attitudes, right? Which, haven't we been trying that? Isn't that really what we've been trying is really not? It's been like some kind of sacrifice type of thing where he's wrong or they're wrong, but I'll do it because that's just the way I have to. There's no other choice. Right? And usually inside, I mean, we have little four-letter words that are running through our heart, running across and having little parties and stuff like that and getting together and putting in four, they're reproducing and producing more four-letter words and they're all running around in our hearts and we are so justified. Didn't that happen? It happens. And the thing is that when we get past the idea that there's anything we do or can do that will justify ourselves, then we can get shed of those things. And this thing about let us therefore fear, see, it's a very provoking thing. Fear, I don't know about you. I don't like fear. I don't like fear. I mean, when I'm really afraid, it is not a pleasant experience. And I don't think any of us do. And what the fear is here is that if we don't enter into that rest, it means we die and go to hell. So you're talking about the ultimate fear. You're not talking about some mealy-mouthed little fear of here and there. It's a fear of where are you ultimately going? There's nothing more brass tacks, rubber hitting the road than that. Nothing more. And when you can get down to the fact that you're willing to interact with the Lord in that place and not blissfully go along ignorantly as though everything's great and you're fine and all the other stuff, you're still playing a game until you get to that place. And to pass through that is darn uncomfortable. Let me just tell you, there's nothing in the going through experience that I can tell you that's one of pleasantness and green pastures and niceness and feeling good and pats on the back and all of that kind of stuff. There's none of it. But the fact of the matter is, there's a target we have out before us. It's a target that I know 25 years ago when I came to the Lord, when I saw that target, there was nothing I wanted more than to hit that target. Nothing I wanted more. I mean, I wanted it. Now, 25 years later, we're actually closer, and I'm actually closer to hitting that target than I've ever been over the last 25 years. And we, as a fellowship, are actually closer to hitting that target than we've ever been. Praise God. But to get there, we got to get shed of some pride. And see, all the self-justification is pride. That's what it is. All of the works that we do are pride. And we like them. That's the problem. We like them and think well of ourselves for doing them. And in order to pass through, they're going to have to become loathsome to you. They're actually going to have to become loathsome to you. And that is not exactly a comfortable spot. So look, folks, I share that it's not exactly a comfortable spot from the perspective of this is where having grace and love one to another becomes key. Because then you can have compassion on folks going through the difficult elements. You can have great compassion on them because you know what it's like yourself. And see, when we go forward into this world, which is turned upside down relative to the Lord, we have to go forward in compassion to people. See, it's that compassion that you have towards people where the sick are healed. The lost are found. The deliverance that people need is delivered. It's in that compassion. See, faith, that faith of Jesus Christ, which he has given to us, works by love. And here we have a little crucible called Grace Ranch, where we have the opportunity to learn it with one another so we can take it out from here. And I'm not going to play around and pretend that it's all a peaceful, easy feeling. It's not. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord wouldn't have brought us this far to fail. He hasn't brought us this far to fail. He hasn't brought Larry back after 10 years through all the different things that he's gone through for Larry to fail. Now, the Lord succeeds. That's the amazing thing. I mean, the Lord will succeed. It is impossible for him to fail. Impossible. Impossible for him to fail in your life if you will but believe him and trust him. If we will but believe him and trust him, he cannot fail. And that's where we go through. And the place we get to then is where it says in Hebrews, where we enter into his rest. We stop all the self-justifying activities. And we are free in Christ to serve him. And he then, what's it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Is not that what we want? Is that not what we need? Is that not what the world needs? Is for a people who will trust him so that he can direct thy paths, their paths, unto those who need him. And deliver unto them that which they need. Not because we're anything, not because you're an apostle, not because of any of these different things, but because in that moment, no matter what it is and no matter who you are, God is big enough to use you to deliver precisely what that other person needs. Nothing lacking, because that's who he is. But we got to get shed of the pride. We have to get shed of the pride, which is tied to that self-justification, which are those attitudes that continuously gurgle up. And they gurgle up in you, and they gurgle up in me. And the thing is that we have to stop choosing to agree with them. And when we do, we can be a part of ministering the solution to the other, so that both of us get free. Amen.
They rush on the city, they run on the walls.
Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice before his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we had this opportunity to get together. And Lord, we thank you for going out with us as we go out into the world. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us each and every day, for watching over us, for providing opportunities in front of us, for helping us, We just thank you so much, Lord Jesus. And we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.